Fox Podcast, Episode 1, Origins, Part 3.
The oocyte is the largest cell in the body. It's not the longest, but it is the largest. It's enormous. It's approximately 100 microns across, which is a tenth of a millimeter. It is just visible to the naked eye. You can see it. And it is from this that everything, except the DNA of the sperm, generates a whole human being. My name is Susanna Williams. I work in the field of reproductive physiology. My fascination has always been in the ovary and the oocyte, so the egg, which is where all new life begins. So for a human, it takes approximately 6 months to generate an egg in a woman's ovaries. Even before you even started thinking about having a child, that egg that's going to be used is being generated. And all of your eggs were determined by the time you were born. They all existed already in your ovaries. And of course, that meant your mother generated them. So they've actually come from your grandmother's line. So in the ovaries, by about 3 months of gestation, when you're in your mother's stomach, you have close to 6-7 million eggs in your ovaries. By cell death, known as apoptosis, the number of these, they're known as primordial germ cells at this point, declines and declines and declines until you have about 400,000 in your ovaries when you hit puberty. So clearly there's a massive amount of death there, millions to thousands. So why is one selected? Why are those ones killed? What's the difference? And those are big questions in science we still don't fully understand.
Of course, the egg is thousands of times larger than the actual sperm cell, and is also marked by there typically, in humans at least, only being one release per month compared to the millions of sperm that are produced on a daily basis. My name is Dagan Wells. I'm a geneticist by background, but I particularly focused my research over the last 20 years on infertility and infertility treatments. The key things, obviously, are the size. The male gamete, its primary role, of course, is to deliver the male genetic material into the egg, and it needs to travel in order to do that, and hence it has developed a tail. In order to do this incredible feat of travelling what is, for a tiny cell, a vast distance to reach the egg. The egg doesn't have this problem, but does have the issue of having to resource the early embryo, and so has grown in size to be able to accommodate all these materials that the early embryo is going to need. Of course, its other major purpose is also to have carry the female genetic contribution as well.
The ovulation of an egg is obviously the beginning of when the oocyte becomes available for fertilization, obviously not fertilizable while it's still in the ovary. And the process of ovulation itself has been fascinating. It was only just a few years ago they actually filmed it in a woman. There was a woman who was undergoing surgery and having a hysterectomy, and the surgeon at the time suddenly went, oh my goodness, she's actually about to ovulate, grabbed a camera and took photos. And instead of it being a massive explosion of an ovulation from the ovary, which is what everyone believed it was actually a very gentle, careful extrusion of this egg, surrounded by cumulus cells, which are essential to be around the egg for it to go very safely into the oviduct, into the fallopian tube, to continue its journey. At that stage, they haven't actually met the sperm. So the sperm, they'll meet in the oviduct.
Once the sperm has found its way into the female reproductive tract, of course, the sperm itself must then travel towards the egg.
They then have to navigate through the cervix, through the uterus, which fallopian tube they're going to go up to finally get to the oocyte. That's a very long journey.
And there's still actually a lot unknown about quite how it finds its way, but some kind of chemical signal is likely, and it will travel along a sort of gradient of this towards its ultimate destination. It's going to be swimming its way through the mucus lining, the female reproductive tract.
Muscular contractions help them. And
out of the millions of sperm that begin that journey,
some of them will finally meet the egg.
Upon arrival, it will have to make its way through a cloud of cells that surround the egg. Those cells not only look like a cloud, but also named for a cloud. They're called cumulus cells, just like cumulus clouds. So the sperm will make its way through these cells, which are supporting and nourishing the egg, until it actually contacts with a sort of fairly hard protein-like membrane that's surrounding the egg. It's called the zona pellucida.
So you have the smallest cell in the body trying to combat the biggest cell in the body, which has basically got a bunch of cells around it saying, go away. It's got a big wall going, go away.
But the sperm has well-developed mechanisms for actually getting into this zona pellucida. There can be a release of enzymes with something called the acrosome reaction. There are enzymes stored in the head of the sperm, which have the ability to dissolve through barriers like this, allowing the sperm to penetrate.
And then, only then, it's actually got access to the plasma membrane of the oocyte itself, the cell wall of the oocyte. It has to bind with that. The oocyte then releases what's known as cortical granules, and they actually are secreted from the outside of the oocyte, and they change the zona pellucida, not allowing any other sperm to penetrate it. If you have many sperm penetrating an egg, then you end up with polyspermy, and you end up with an embryo with too much DNA, can't divide properly, and will subsequently die.
You now have a situation where you have genetic material transferred into the egg, a very large cell. We have two different sets of genetic material, some from the mother, some from the father. And at this point, they're still distinct, they're still separate. But what then happens is those two bits of material migrate through the egg until they come into contact and mix. And then you have the unique genetics of a new individual.
And knowing that that is the origin of a new human being once the DNA had added is simply fascinating. I think everyone should watch sperm fertilizing an egg in a dish. It's beautiful. This absolute drive of the sperm. They have one job and only one job, and there is nothing else. And it's absolutely fascinating in a biological sense.
I remember as a younger student really seeing human embryos being grown in a lab for the first time and being struck by just how incredible this really was. I mean, these are little tiny balls of cells with so much potential. You know, they're going to become an individual one day, and who knows what that individual might accomplish in their lives.
Life is actually a continuum. Because my eggs were put down while I was in my mother, hers were put down while she was in her mother. It was all defined. And so there's this continuation of life that goes through the female line where you're an egg, that becomes an embryo, that becomes a human being, and generates the next ones, which are reprogrammed, but the life continues.
You've been listening to the Oxford Sparks podcast, produced by Ed Prosser. You can find a full list of credits and much else besides on our website at oxfordsparks.net.